Now we are blessed with a load of OPW managed heritage sites right across the county and many, many across the country. It's National Heritage Week from Saturday the 17th to Sunday the 25th of August. On the show today, we have two family heritage cards, each worth €90 to give away. Now, these cards offer access for one family, that can be made up of two adults and up to five children that you know, to over 45 OPW managed heritage sites across the country. You can visit any or all of the attractions as often as you like during the heritage cards validity period. See heritageweek.ie for all events, listings for County Donegal and across the country. And in fact, you can go on to that website and create your own personalised schedule of events on heritageweek.ie with the My Events Trail feature, so you won't miss out on everything. Now, to win, which heritage place am I talking about right now? In the town for which the county's named, on the bank of the River Esk, Red Hugh O'Donnell built this stronghold, towering and picturesque. In the town for which the county's named, on the bank of the River Esk, Red Hugh O'Donnell built this stronghold, towering and picturesque, which is the first one this week I would actually know. So, what is the answer to that? It is a heritage site in Donegal, and we're looking for the name of a particular type of building, right? Text or WhatsApp your answer, name and address to 086 60 25 000. Your name and address and your answer to 086 60 25 000, and also email comments@highlandradio.com, comments@highlandradio.com, and we'll draw the winners later on in the show. Whilst we're just talking, I do want to give you one more opportunity. Not one more opportunity, you have numerous opportunities. But we on this show are giving away €2,500 tomorrow, which is very exciting. And I am conscious when we talk about things like this, we've just been talking about poverty and people struggling. But at the same time, too, there are those that do have resources and want a bit of fun with that. And we try and speak to all. Highland Radio's Mega Summer Draw is live right now. There's €20,000 in cash to be won. €2,500 will be given away on this program tomorrow and every Friday up until the €10,000 draw on the 6th of September, which is also going to be live on the 9 till noon show. Now, you have between now and around about this time tomorrow to be in with a chance in all of the draws. So two and a half, ten, right? But if you want to be in all of those draws, all five draws, you need to get your ticket before tomorrow. The earlier in, of course, the more chances you have to win. All you have to do to buy a ticket is go onto our website, highlandradio.com. Click on the Mega Summer Draw there. There's a simple question. Then you choose what you want. You can buy one single ticket for a tenner. Could be a present for someone or what have you. You might want to give a number of them out so you can get 6 for 50 or 10 for 80. Now, also, if you don't do online, you can call in to us here at Highland Radio on the mountaintop in Letterkenny. Or if you prefer to do it over the phone, it's 07491 25000. There will be a rush tomorrow, so if you are considering entering, now's the time when it's relatively quiet to do so, either online or to give us a call on 07491 25000. And it's the last 24 hours for you to buy a ticket and be in all five draws. Now, just I didn't dismiss this listener's comment before 10, but I understand exactly where they're coming from in terms of maybe we spoil our children when even we don't have as much money as our lifestyle might suggest. But there are then those who are struggling deeply. This caller said, though, in full, sometimes I do wonder why the issue of cost of school is such a big issue, yet many of those kids are carrying the latest iPhone. Surely somewhere along the road we have to ask families to take self-responsibility. Sadly, many never will when they know something for nothing is there. The same kids have branded clothing and yet are the same people with their hands out. Am I being too tough? I think in this instance you are, because, I mean, are there any people that will ever exploit the system? Yes, of course. Are the families, the 600 plus families we're talking about, those families? No, these are families that are destitute, that they are literally living from hand to mouth, that they can't afford food, let alone the latest iPhone. In relation to the vet story, Piers Doherty, Joe McHugh, we contacted them, to be fair. They weren't available this morning, and Charlie's never available for me, but we did read that press release. I also was interested as to how many vacancies in Donegal were open on educationposts.ie for teachers and special care assistants in Donegal. It's actually 11. So the recruitment issue doesn't seem to be as profound in Donegal as it is elsewhere. On the issues of vets, the universities used to teach vets, meds and dental together for the first 4 years. Has that stopped? I don't know. I would imagine it is. Yes, Greg, we're about to see what the government think of our agriculture minister from Donegal, Charlie McConnell, agree the vet courses. Should vet prices be reduced? I think that vet prices should be reduced. I had a cow that needed two operations. It was €700. That's nearly the cost of the cow. It's a very expert job, though, a very expert field. I mean, that's effectively, you know, double surgery on a cow. I don't know if that's the right amount of money or not. I really don't know because I don't keep cows. Can we not use the cross-border argument to have the veterinary school in Letterkenny, as there is no veterinary school in Northern Ireland? Yes, indeed. And funny you should say that. That did then form part of the conversation. Accommodation is a big issue in Letterkenny. Unless the college is going to provide accommodation to staff and students, there would be no point in bringing the veterinary school to Letterkenny. I wonder, is it worth us maybe doing a piece on the rent-a-roon scheme as well? You know, we're talking about people struggling, but there are people out there as well who are struggling, but perhaps have a spare room in their house, particularly in and around Letterkenny. And you can rent a room and take in, is it 14 or 15,000 euro tax-free, even if you're on other benefits, I believe. We haven't done it before, and they did get a wee rush of rooms being made available. So I think maybe before the colleges return, we might look into that. We need a vet school and medical school in Donegal, full stop. Just look at the cross-border benefits we would also have. Yeah, indeed, a few of you very cleverly pointing that out. Greg, a very real issue in the past seemingly has been how young vets are treated when they join a practice in regard to pay and hours on call. Of course, this varies between practices, but it is not appealing to young vets. Yeah, I get you, but we're not at that point yet because we don't really have the output of vets to sort of maybe deal with that issue if it's there. We have vets that are people that want to enter that area of work, and they're doing so in Britain and Poland and elsewhere. But if that's something that he's talking about, please let us know. Please let the listeners know the Spriaga Sport charity shop in Carndonagh called Siri Clothing are giving away free school uniforms. Please come and help yourself. Loads of different school uniforms in stock. Okay, so that's the Spriaga Sport charity shop in Carndonagh. And let me just say, please, there is absolutely no issue in... Even if you go into one of those charity shops, you can do so for green reasons, okay? So don't think people presume it's because of financial reasons. You can go in there and maybe you prefer to not contribute to this circular economy, even though it's free. But that could be a very good reason for you to go in there and get school uniforms for your young ones. Despite nationwide improvements in deprivation measures, the gap between Ireland's most disadvantaged areas and the national average has increased. 195,992 people now live in areas classed as very or extremely disadvantaged. Urban areas contain more extremes of both highly disadvantaged and highly affluent areas. There's a the most basic issue, yes, a big gap between the haves and the have-nots. Only station ever in our house since Highland started. Brilliant, thank you. That was just a reference to, and new listenership figures are coming out. They're embargoed to 12, so we can't really talk about them. But what I will say, because I will be off at 12, is that, you know, we are in a media landscape where everything's changing. You know, people more, you know, listen to different platforms, different radio stations, don't listen to radio at all, and so on and so forth. But we consistently here at Highland Radio enjoy fantastic support. This programme, and it's not easy to do year on year and quarter on quarter, we have more people listening to us than in the comparable period, which is fantastic. And as I said, and that listener's referencing there, and this is actually a really good one for advertisers out there, because if you've got an advertising budget and you're spending on radio, just to keep in mind, that almost half of those that listen to radio in Donegal only listen to Highland Radio. So if you're spending your advertising money on a radio station and it's not Highland Radio in Donegal, statistically, half of those that you are trying to reach aren't listening. Do you get me? So I would just say, if you are interested in advertising in radio, and it is very, very effective, in Donegal, Highland Radio probably is your only call if you want to reach a greater number of people, because half of people that listen to radio in Donegal listen to us and no one else. Call our sales team, 074-91-25000. It's just, you know, businesses are struggling and we want to make sure you get the best bang for your buck with your advertising dollar, as they say. Now, you would have heard us talk in the past about the Garage Project. It is a fantastic project, in fact, and has had a huge and lasting impact on a number of boys and girls aged 14 and above who engaged with it. Dennis Ferry and Leslie O'Donnell are with me now, both trainers on the Garage Project. Gentlemen, good morning to you.
Morning,
good morning.
Thank
Greg.
You so much for us. So what is the situation, Dennis? I'll start with you. Well, first of all, talk to me about the 18 months of this project. You know, how many boys and girls did you engage with and what did you do with them?
A few years ago, Pro Social Ireland approached Les and I for an idea to... They were doing road safety classes and they wanted a more hands-on experience. So we came up with the concept of having a live garage where young people can come in and experience working on real cars, doing real jobs. So over the last 18 months, we've put through about 140, 150 young people from 14 upwards, usually from secondary schools and different other walks of life. It gives them a hands-on experience of what it's really like, and it teaches them for road safety about modified cars are great, but there's ways to modify cars and there's ways not to modify cars. And by doing it incorrectly, you risk that you can make the car unsafe for the road.
Yeah, but that works because you're sort of saying, right, well, if they find themselves going, then, well, right, thanks. I know more than maybe my peers. If I'm going to do this, I know how to do it right now.
That's it. You're young people in Donegal especially love cars. Mm-hmm. There's a massive car culture.
Which is fine.
It's great.
Yeah,
Les and I both are very passionate with cars. That's why we're doing this. But there's ways of not cutting lower springs. Fitting proper springs is fitted for cars. Les will touch on insurance companies in a short while here about how they're now raking in claims because cars are modified incorrectly and not declared. So with the help of the LDC, we started this a number of years ago. Now, the handbrake went on a wee bit during COVID for obvious reasons, but it's really taken off again and a lot of schools are getting involved besides the LDC's funding. So we're trying to teach them that working at cars, because a lot of people nowadays leaving certs, universities, points is massively drove onto them. But people have to realise not everybody is a 600 pointer.
Not at all.
You know, and the more we can show them that they can do stuff with their hands, and like in 10 years' time, there's going to be a massive shortage of all manual labour. Should it be from a plumber to a mechanic? So we need to encourage young people to get into trades again. Get apprenticeships.
Yeah, Leslie, it's not just the greasy stuff as well, is it? It's the bodywork stuff as well.
Yeah. I would be teaching them, Dennis would be more on the mechanical end, the safety mechanical end. I would be teaching them on car care and simple as changing bulbs. These new modern cars, as most mechanics will know, it can be a bit of a procedure to change a headlight bulb or a bulb. So we'll be teaching them all the basic cares and that, changing headlight bulbs. We touch a wee bit on bodywork, taking off bumpers, to maybe change fog lights and car care then, obviously paintwork care and taking fine scores out of car and polishing your car, because as you touched on earlier, there is a massive car culture in Donegal and they like to keep their car so well and shiny. So we do touching on machine polishing cars and correction and paintwork and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so.
And we also heard Dennis referencing the insurance element of it. And the reality is that when a claim goes in, insurance companies try and protect their assets and their shareholders, and they will look at ways to sort of say, right, I'm sorry, but this policy does not apply. And modifications is a big deal in this regard.
Modifications are a massive issue at the moment. One insurance company in particular, but I see they're all starting to follow suit now. We have had two cases recently in the past 6 months. One claim was reneged. It was a total loss. The car ended up, the young fella bought it. And he bought it with the modifications on it. But when he ticked the box for had the car any modifications, when he was doing the online insurance quote, he ticked no. And when the assessor came out to inspect the car, she was lowered and the wheels were 2 inches over average size that they should be. The claim was reneged, €14,000 claim was reneged.
Yeah, it is tough to get insurance for modified vehicles, but if they're modified correctly and remain within sort of the parameters. You can still get quotes, can you?
But what I'm finding is that most of the only certain insurance companies will accept a modified car.
It's going to be a premium on it,
isn't there? Most of the standard run-of-the-mill companies just don't want to go there when it comes to modifications.
How do we know, Dennis, this is having a lasting impact on the boys and girls?
Well, over the 6 weeks that they're with us, you can see a change.
You see the development.
You can see a change. Like, you can see why you don't cut springs. If you go into a corner with cut springs in the back of a car, had a bump, that spring can fall out. Then you're riding on a shock absorber, which the car then is very unstable, by putting in the correct suspension. And they can see that. It's grand. People say, oh, don't do this and don't do that. But unless you show somebody the advantage and disadvantage and they use their own hands and with their own eyes, they can see it.
Mm-hmm.
It educates them.
Yeah.
And the young people now are coming to a different era of car that you and I, like anybody over 50 will remember. XR, I know, Greg, I know you hit that magic number.
Scraped it. Is that it? Am I grouped in with you guys? Is that the reality?
Oh, you're a bit older than me, but anyway. By weeks.
It's going downhill fast.
But we can remember older cars, XR3s, Capris, stuff like that. So the newer stuff now, a lot of electrics and hybrid cars. So modifications will change slightly.
I'm kind of interested to see how that, because you just can't beat the older cars. And I just wonder, are we going to mod hybrid and electric cars?
Will
those older cars actually become even more valuable and more?
But not if you get a certain bracket of older cars.
Yeah.
And it's usually when somebody becomes their 40s and 50s, what they could have had as teenagers.
Yeah, that's true.
When a car gets 30 years old,
it loses a generation, maybe.
Exactly. Now, whether people will be wanting to go back to electric cars in 30 years' time, would we have?
I don't know. I'll tell you what happens is we'll find a way and the market will find itself.
It will.
But we don't know what it is. I still fancy that your sort of 80s and 90s cars will be maybe very much in fancy up in the future. A big thing now is actually putting electric conversions of classic cars as well, which I actually find quite fascinating.
And it's not a simple operation, but it's very doable. Mm. You can convert any car.
Yeah. So what is the situation going forward? Is the garage project still active?
In
terms of funding, is it supported? Is the future secure? I'll stick with you on that one, Dennis.
It's supported by different ways of funding. DLDC have been a great help, so they have, over the last few years in funding. And Pro Social Ireland, who run the course, they have speakers that come in and speak about road safety. And DYS was with us as well. And they're chatting to young people. And it's just not all about cars. There's other life skills that they're learning, and it's even just chatting to people and bonding. Sometimes with two schools is amalgamate, so they're meeting new people and it opens their eyes.
And Leslie, what I like about this is that, you know, we talk constantly about road safety and all this type of stuff, but we have to be doing our best to get the message across in a way that lands, you know, and this is like a fantastic way of doing so. You can talk about road safety, but you're also actually explaining how your car will perform better, be safer, and can be, you know, somewhat modified. You know, I think it's great that we're working with young people in this way. It seems a very positive way to get that message across.
Totally. Like, it's a very positive message. And as Dennis said, you're giving them a hands-on approach to it. Like, Dennis will hold a brake pad. Most brake pads you can hold in the palm of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis will ask them, have you ever seen one of them before?
Not after coming down Lurgy Brack, you wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, Dennis is holding it in the palm of their hand. And he explained them, that's what stops your car.
Yeah.
And it fits in the palm of your hand, something so small. So that's what you're relying on to stop your car when you're going at speed. You know, so from all that approach, and then
And how little your tyres contact the road too, I think.
You're dealing with...
It's amazing,
Four square inches per wheel. That's the last thing to save you.
Keeping you on the road. And this brake pad that fits in the palm of your hand, two of them on each side, that's actually stopping your wheel from turning.
Yeah.
So when you can get that message across, and then they're taking brake pads out, and we're showing them how the caliper works, how the pistons push in to stop your car. Yeah. You're showing them the springs and the shock. So
you do it in is courses is how you describe it, like, I mean, so when, like, there's people already texting in saying, well, how does they get the young person involved in this, or when's the next course, or what's the story there, Dennis?
You get through prosocialireland.ie, and you can book through there. But also, if these young people are at school, get onto the school's completion office or career guidance. They're aware of it. We've sent emails to all the schools. And usually we try to amalgamate two schools together for social reasons as well. And the schools are keen for this. And especially the LCA, right, Leaving Cert Applied, which I'm a...
It's another option for young people, talented young people.
We've had people who struggle academically.
Yeah.
And you bring them in and they're just so good with their hands. And that needs to be... we have to excel at them, because it gives them confidence. They can get a job. Do you know, every year, and it's going to happen again this year, the front page of the newspaper will be everybody gets 625 points, right? And that's great.
Well, I've stopped doing, like, listen, I can understand how parents can be so proud and all that.
Of course.
There used to be this ring around of a small group of students that maxed the points, right? Yeah. And fair play to them, read the messages out, but I want to talk about all the children that maximise their potential.
Yeah, exactly.
What they wanted, you know, not what the state sets out to be best, but what you as an individual, and if you as an individual do as best as you can, for me, that makes you equal to the next person who did the best that the state says is the best, right? Yeah. And that's just really important, because also on those days, all the children don't get the news they want, but there are always options. Fairness to this government as well, there's a lot of, we've talked about this before, but in fairness to this government, they've made great inroads in training and apprenticeships and what have you as well. Right, so are you oversubscribed then, Leslie? I mean, with more money, could you offer these courses to more young people, or is it a case of keeping it at scale where you can guarantee its benefit to those that take part, or where is the future for this, Leslie, in your view?
Definitely there would be more options for bringing more on if the funding was there to do it. Yeah, like we normally do it kind of one day a week, but there would be an option to do more.
Yeah, so double it up and do 2 days a week.
Totally. And as Dennis says, Pro Social Ireland, that they apply to for it, and they do all the admin work and they get all the students for it, and we basically turn up and do the practical work with it. So there definitely would be an option. We're back in Armour Island, I think, in September again. We done a programme in Armour Island last year in September. We're back there doing it on the island in September now again through DLDC. So there would definitely be options for more.
It's great to see going to different places.
Well, we take a mobile workshop with us to the island, and Noreen, the Cope, gave us the premises. So we have a fully functioning garage.
Do you stay
up
over
here
then? Or do you go in and out one day?
In and out. We do Saturdays.
Two full Saturdays.
Brilliant.
Yeah, two full Saturdays. So
the garage is on the industrial estate here up beside Highland, but it's a garage that stays there. It's not a working garage as such. This is set up like a working garage, but it stays there for the students. So
fantastic.
It's not used for anything else.
Right, prosocialireland.ie is the place to go. I mean, I'm sure we've talked about this being rolled out nationwide. Was it? We did have that conversation, didn't we? That it should be.
It should be.
Has there been any interest down the country in relation to this? Because it makes perfect sense.
We've had different people contact us, and we've done different kind of small roadshows down the country, and we do one down in Dublin. It could be rolled out, and it should be rolled out.
Yeah, I think so.
It should be rolled out, because it gives people a taster that, look, I want to work at cars, or I don't want to work in cars. So there's two elements. There's road safety, but there's also for the young people, bringing them forward and something they might enjoy.
Yeah. All right, brilliant stuff. Lads, anything else you want to mention
I'll just thanks to DLDC for all their support, their input and the support.
Brilliant. And if any parents of the 130, 40, 50 young girls and boys, 14 and over, who've engaged in this and want to let us know how that experience was, please get in touch with us. If you're interested in finding out more about it, go to prosocialireland.ie. Anthony, well done, lads. Great initiative. That's Anthony Cunningham. Do you know him? Right. Okay. He claims to be Ireland's number one car, second-hand car seller. Not second-hand car retailer.
Conor Garcia. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the fee, yes. Yeah. I would do, sure.
I do.
Yeah. I think he got in bother with one of the big boys, but sure. The signs are still up, hey?
The yellow and black.
Anthony, thanks for that. I'll expect a discount next time I see you. Right, Dennis Ferry, Leslie O'Donnell, both of you, thanks very much
indeed.
Good night, I do appreciate it. All right, okay. It is the 9 till noon show. Always loving having Dennis and Leslie and talking about that garage project. As I say, prosocialireland.ie is the address to check out more. And as I say, if you or anyone in your family has been through that, let us know what the experience was like. Now, we're joined on the programme by the Chief Executive of the Crime Victims Helpline, Michelle Puckaber. I hope I've pronounced that correctly. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Thanks so much for joining us. What is the Crime Victims Helpline? Before we dig into the report a little bit, please, Michelle.
So the National Crime Victims Helpline provides information and support to all victims of crime across Ireland. So we operate the 116006 helpline number. And what that number is, it's an EU-wide number. And the idea is that you go to any EU country, if you are a victim of crime or you need support as a victim of crime, you can dial the 116006 and you'll be connected to the victim support services in that country. So for Ireland, the Crime Victims Helpline operates that. Now, we also do support and information over web chat, text. You can go onto our website for information as well, as request a callback. So we really, again, support all victims of crime, and we kind of do it in any manner in which people really feel comfortable. People can be anonymous. It's a confidential service. So again, it's a good starting point, even if people are not sure where to turn.
So given the sort of international flavour to this, is it a mixture of people that are permanent resident in Ireland or on holidays here? Or what is the breakdown, not specifically, obviously, Michelle, yeah, just the general breakdown, I suppose, of those making contact?
Yeah, no, so it is people typically in Ireland. So this number, the information about the Crime Victims Helpline is provided to all victims of crime when they report to An Garda Síochána. But as well, you know, the crime does not have to have been reported in order for somebody to contact us. And that's perfectly fine. Again, we don't tell people what to do. So sometimes we would have people contacting us about historical abuse. And maybe they're trying to decide whether or not this is something that they want to report to the guards now. And for those types of cases, we would see maybe people who grew up in Ireland, however, they've gone to the UK, they're in Canada, and they're really trying to know their options, what can they do? And those people are also very welcome to contact the Crime Victims Helpline around information about how to make a report from abroad.
Do you think there's still a piece of work in getting sort of that number out there and the service out there? Because I'm looking at the figures and we'll go through some of them. But I don't think this, obviously they're not representative of, they're quite a small percentage, I suppose, of people that have been the victims of crime. Do you think, you know, more people will be in contact once awareness increases further?
I believe so, yeah. Because what we've seen is that the trend over the last even 10 years it has been a huge increase in the amount of people contacting the Crime Victims Helpline, and we haven't seen the corresponding huge increase in crime. So what we've really put a lot of effort into this awareness raising, and the big change really came around 2018, 2019, when victims of crime for the first time really got rights in the criminal justice system. So previous to that, victims of crime really had very, very few rights. However, because of an EU directive, victims now have a number of rights. Mm. And one of those rights is information about victim support services.
Yeah.
So, you know, we think that we will continue to see more people contact us, but as well, we have other really great victim support services in Ireland. So we have, you know, the National Rape Crisis Helpline, we have the National Domestic Violence Helpline, and we have, you know, a lot of really excellent specialized support services. Yeah,
so in other words, if I were a victim of domestic abuse, I might hop on to my favorite search engine and go to a domestic abuse support network, and that wouldn't be necessarily caught in these figures. The only thing is I just do wonder, you talk about how an increase in calls does not necessarily reflect an increase in crime, which points to awareness, which I'm sure you're perfectly right in that. Perhaps maybe with the exception of an increase in hate crime against members of the LGBTQ community, because I just do wonder maybe sometimes if it's not as clear for members of that group to sort of find a space in the criminal justice system to report what they might be reporting to you.
Yeah, so what we do see is a change in kind of crime trends or the types of crimes that people are contacting us about. So what you alluded to, we saw in 2023, unfortunately, a huge increase in the number of hate-based crimes or hate-motivated crimes and hate-motivated incidents. So, you know, obviously that's very worrying. And we also saw a huge shift in terms of the types of crime, with cybercrime being a huge, we've seen huge increases in that over the last few years. And then around specific types of cybercrime, around non-consensual sharing of intimate photos, as well as sextortion, which is the threat to share intimate photos both unless somebody gives them money.
Both of which should be reported to the Gardaí and are completely illegal. Not only the sharing of intimate images without consent, but the threat. In other words, well, if you leave me, I've got those pictures. That is a crime. And of course, in the first instance, should be reported to the Gardaí. But if you seek other support, you can call the Crime Victims Helpline on 116006. I wonder, too, is there crossover between sextortion and the instances of extortion and blackmail as well? A bit of a crossover there.
Absolutely. I would say 99%. The way that we keep track of our stats and the crimes is it's the kind of the statutory kind of name or label for the crime. So when we see extortion in our stats, we know, though, that 99% of that is related to sextortion because we've seen an absolute explosion of people contacting us about that crime, and it's kind of specifically younger men who we are hearing from. And it's been such a change over the last year that we saw even our demographics change. So historically, about 40% of our contacts come from men, 60% from women. And in 2023, we saw more of a 50-50 split. So it's something that it's really impacting a lot of people. There's a lot of shame and embarrassment involved in it. And what we really want to do is create awareness of that. It is happening to a lot of people, and there are things that you can do if that does happen to you.
Do you think that in relation to the increase, this is probably anecdotal, but maybe you have something on this, but an increase in relation to sort of hate crime directed towards people based on their gender, race, or their sexuality. I think just now we're in a space whereby people feel more empowered to say whatever they want, you know, be it on social media or to someone's face. I wonder, does it talk to an increase in negative sentiment towards these people, or that people feel more empowered to say these things to people?
I think both. I mean, I think that we've all seen, if you follow the news at all, you will see that there has been a definite change and shift in terms of the environment that people are living in, who are maybe new to Ireland or from maybe marginalized communities, that unfortunately, that because people are seeing it and it's there have been incidents, I think that there might also be the sense of, oh, maybe this is okay to say, maybe it's okay for me to talk to the bus driver this way or the taxi driver, and it's not okay, and it is creating a very difficult environment, as you know, for everyone, because nobody wants to live in a community where there's these types of hate incidents and hate crimes.
A large amount of referrals, over 3,000 in 2023. What does that tell us, and where did the majority of these referrals come from?
Yeah, so these are referrals that we make. So
You've made the referrals. I beg your pardon.
We've made the referrals. Yeah, because we are a generalist service, right? So we support and give information to all victims of crime. But what we really want to do is get people connected to either their local supports or specialized supports, like I'd mentioned previously, domestic violence or sexual assault. So we, because we don't do face-to-face support, so we don't meet with people, we don't do advocacy. There's, you know, a lot of things that victims really need and deserve after they become a victim of a crime that we just can't provide. So what we try to do is connect people with those services. So that's what you see. And it really, in the 3,000 referrals that we've made, you can see just what a huge wide variety of supports and services that people really need when they've been impacted by crime.
All right, 116006 is that number. That's an international number as well. And I'm just thinking if something, you know, maybe someone's on holidays or what have you, that number travels as well in the likes of Portugal or Spain or what have you, does it? Yes. So you can dial 116006 because you can feel very isolated. And I'm sure we get contacts in this country from people that are on holidays here.
So if you're in Portugal and you've been a victim of crime and you dial 116006, you would be connected to an organization called APAV, and they are the victim support service in Portugal, and they can provide information and support in English.
Yeah, but localized.
If you ask for it.
But localized to that area, which could be really quite important. Okay.
Which is great because if you're trying to make a report of a crime in Portugal, you know, unfortunately, that's not our area of expertise. Yeah, you know, if you want to make a report of crime in Ireland, we are your people. However, again, if you're in Portugal, and especially when you are a visitor in a country, it's so important to have that extra information and support because you don't know the system and you don't know how to do things necessarily.
Exactly. This could be an example, but two fellas ran up to me in the street. They punched me and they stole my stuff. I mean, no, this is an example. Sorry, Michelle, it didn't happen, but it could happen.
Oh.
You know, but if you were in Portugal, you go, you know, well, what do I do? Is this a crime? Where do I go? You know what I mean? That's just one example. And I just think it's a really useful. I think that's really useful. I'm going to take note of it myself. And thankfully, I've never been the victim of a crime abroad. But 116006 would be a useful resource. Lovely to chat to you, Michelle. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg.
All right, bye-bye. Michelle Puckaber, Chief Executive of the Crime Victims Helpline. Let me see. I wanted to mention a couple of things. I just wanted to give a quick mention to... I've lost it. All right, I'll come back to it. Right, Music Month. Quick mention of Music Month. I'm really encouraging any of you out there, having seen how this works and seen the benefits of it, to get involved in Irish Music Month. This September, we are continuing our search for a new local hero. We're looking for musicians, artists out there to become our new local hero. Send in your demos to us. Go to our website, highlandradio.com, or email localhero@highlandradio.com. So if it's an original piece of music or an original musical work of yours, send it in to us. We had a huge entry last year. We're looking for the same again. If you entered before, you can enter again, by the way. We had some amazing entrants that were just pipped at the post, so to speak. So get your original work, a demo, into us, localhero@highlandradio.com. Write a little bit about yourself, who you are. Maybe you want to talk about the piece that you're sending to us, but we need it before the 23rd of August. Then we draw up a shortlist. It could be an artist, a singular artist, a band, a collection of musicians. They're going to perform live on a special show here on the 9 till noon show at the start of next month from Ongreanon Theatre. You'll also, the four finalists, will receive €875. And then a judging panel and listeners will vote for our winner, who goes on to national consideration. You get national airplay. You get backed by local radio stations right across the country, the biggest cohort of reach there is in radio in this country. And also get playlisted elsewhere. And those who entered from right across the country have benefited greatly from it and have become successful, popular artists. So if you have a piece of work out there, don't be hard on yourself judging it. Get it into us. So let us have a listen. Send your demo, a bit about yourself, and your contact details to localhero@highlandradio.com before Friday, the 23rd of August, 2024. And as I say, you know, even if you have a bit of a profile or you've entered before, don't let that discourage you. Send in your work, and it's all judged really, really fairly and by people with a broad background. So if you're a rap artist, for an example, or work in hip-hop or a drill, whatever it might be, don't be discouraged thinking, oh, well, that's not really Highland Radio stuff. That's not what we're about here. It's to find the best artist in whatever genre they are. We'll get four of them. There'll be a live show in Hungary and on theatre with all the jigs and the reels. And then we'll select a winner between us, the station, the listeners, and we'll send it on to enter that national competition. It's all very exciting, and it is genuinely a proper pathway to potentially kickstarting your career or launching it into the stratosphere, so to speak. So please, if you're a musician, an artist, and don't be discouraged, get involved in that. A caller says, it's frightening to see how in a parish one townland can be so different financially for children than a neighbouring townland. It really is. It really is. I know exactly where you're coming from there. Right, OK, I'm going to take a quick break because we're heading towards news at 11.